Blog Talk Radio.
All right now. Let's go back down home and sing to my mama old song. Listen. Down through the years, the Lord has been good to me. Yeah,
down through the years,
the Lord
has been good to me.
Yeah,
down
through the years, yeah,
the Lord has been good,
sure been good to me.
Of the Lord together. Hallelujah. This is the Bishop once again coming to you from here in 121 Oak Street down here in the historic Turner Station, Maryland. I want to say hello to everyone this morning as you make your way into the sanctuary and as you tune into the broadcast this month. Well, we're into a brand new month. This is the fifth month of this new year. Time again is just flying, just like a jet. Matter of fact, just like a rocket. Yes, indeed, and time is waiting for no one. No one. Well, today is the very first Sunday again in the month of May. And I would have had communion today, but I'm going to hold off until next Sunday. But we do want to extend the right hand of fellowship during the course of the service this morning for those that has not receded as of yet. I want to draw your attention this morning to the Gospel of St. John. And I'm allowing my fingers this morning to do the walking through the pages of the Bible. And I think I want to encamp in the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John. St. John, the third chapter. And I believe I want to start my reading this morning with just a few verses for your listening pleasure. And I think I'm going to start at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Gospel of St. John, verse number 12. And St. John, the third chapter, verse number 12. Take your time. You receive and you're there. Just say amen and we'll pick up. Right hand of fellowship this morning. Brand new Sunday, brand new month, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we all there? All right, amen. Here we go. Let us walk through these words together this morning. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended unto the heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I have read this morning for your listening pleasure the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John, verses 12 down through and including verse number 21. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. Come with me as we prepare to go to the throne of grace. Throne of God, our Father, we come this morning with hearts of thanksgiving. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, for another Sunday that thou hast brought into our lives. A Sunday in a new month, a Sunday which we will never see again on this side. And for that, we thank you. We thank you, O Lord, as we prepare in this month, in the coming days, to go to the upper room once again for the waiting of the Holy Ghost, Pentecost time. Help us to prepare the way that we may be able to go straight in our eyesight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all who has pressed their way out to this tabernacle this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, O Lord, for those that may be on the way and for those that may have been tied up, that they would arrive safely and intact to this dwelling. We ask, O Heavenly Father, that you would have your way as we continue in this service. And then, Lord, we once again lift up our voices and we cry out unto you for the killing that has taken place in this year. Senseless, unaccountable, and whatever these young people decide to do. A great number, and we are not even into the sixth month of this year, and we're already at 113, 114. Lord, we have no one else to turn to but to you. We can't turn to each other. We don't have the answers, nor the tolerance to tolerate these young people losing their lives. So much death in the land. So many people being called home. And yet we thank you. For we know there is some good in everyone. We thank you from the worst to the best. And then, Lord, we come back into this holy place, and we pray for the woman of God, the pastor of this body, this branch of Zion. We ask the Lord that as she is released this morning, as Lazarus was when he came from the tomb, that she will come down from on high and bring us a word, a word that would do us some good. Not a word where people would say, oh, did she preach or did he preach, but a word that will fill our hearts and penetrate our minds and convict us, that it will draw us to want to be closer to thee. And we didn't come to praise a woman. We didn't come to praise a man who you call. We realize that you receive the glory, the honor that you so justly do. Well, your son said, as I read earlier, that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so with that, we give you thanks this morning. Have your way as we continue in this service. For it's in the precious name of Jesus the Christ, we do pray. And our hearts and our souls say amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. Well, it's nice and it's warm in here this morning. It's sometimes it's good to complain. Some of us complain about it too warm, and some of us are on the other side of the line complaining about it's too cold. So we can't seem to get a majority here this morning, half on one side and half on the other side. But we know one day we won't have to worry about whether it's hot or it's cold. Well, we know that you provide a temperature that is so pleasing, so pleasant, not only to our outside, but also to our bodies. And according to your word, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom. We must come in a spiritual form. So we know that our body will be received, and it will be in a pleasant state of mind. And for that, we do give you thanks this morning. Thanks this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done in this assembly, this tabernacle, this chapel, this sanctuary, in the blessing business, and continually to keep on blessing this body and this branch of Zion. So that we thank you this morning. We thank you for some things that was purchased to be given out during the course of the day. We thank you for the right hand of fellowship that will take place this morning. And we thank you for the songs that will be played. We thank you, Lord, for the prayer that was given. We thank you for the scripture that was read. And we thank you for the word, O Lord, as it comes. And certainly we ask, O Heavenly Father, that as you bring this woman this morning, this tool, this vessel, this vase that you have called, O Lord, we ask that you would fill her, O Lord, till she want no more. That when she rises and stands before the congregation this morning, O Lord, that they won't see Phyllis Marie, but they will see the Jesus in her. That they will see the Shekinah glory permeating as a halo over above her head. That she may be able to come, and that you will make preaching easy for her. That as we will receive this word as it comes this morning, our hearts will be palpitating because we are anxious to hear from on high. So we thank you. We thank you for her. We thank you for everyone this morning who has come thus far. We pray that as the service continue, that they will continue to come in. And this morning, this afternoon, we're going over to look in on Cousin Margot. And I don't know if she's tuned in right now, but perhaps the pastor would mention it again. But nevertheless, we plan to go over and to give her the right hand of fellowship along with our church certificate this morning. I do plan to give her communion as well while we're over there. She's a patient that is somewhat bedridden. And certainly we have been called to serve, for we are servants. Jesus mentioned the fact, I didn't come that I might be served, but I came to serve. And if we are following Jesus, we have come to serve. No matter what the magnitude of the service is, whether it's wiping down a table, sweeping a floor, or attending to the needs of a patient, we have come to serve. And we're going to do that today, and we're going to continue with the service this morning. I read for your listening pleasure again the third chapter in St. John, verses 12 down through, including verse number 20, 21. And Jesus himself that is speaking at this point. And he, in a sense of speaking, he's saying, you know, how could I have told you things early or explained things to you early, and yet there's some disbelief and you all don't seem to be on the same accord? And if you don't believe these things, then how can I tell you about heavenly things? It seems to go over your head. First, you have to get an understanding to the earthly things that I'm saying to you, that you were able to comprehend them. And then I can come back and then talk about the heavenly things. I'm going to go up a little high, just take you up Jacob's ladder and allow you to climb. But first you got to be able to take and digest what we are doing right now before we can go up a little higher. And if you know that when Jesus rose from the dead and he saw his disciples, he spent another 40 days down here on the earth, 40 days and leaving 10 days before Pentecost, teaching the disciples about heavenly things. See, now that you have seen and that you believe, now I can carry you somewhere higher from this atmosphere and take you to a heavenly atmosphere where you can comprehend heavenly things. I have come, I have been crucified. I mentioned that I would get up on the third day and I rose and I have come back and I have visited you and I've talked to Dowling Thomas and so forth and so on, and yet he was one who had disbelief. And in order for him to believe, he had to see me in person. Even though I came sort of in a spiritual form, but he had to see me in a form where he could identify that the nails were in my hands or my wrist, and I had been pierced in the side. It's good for us to believe the things that we don't see, because the things that we do see is only temporal. It only lasts for a short period of time. But it's the things that we find that we can't seem to believe. Believe on this, you know, and believe on that. And your reward will come in heaven. So it's good for us to believe, even though we don't see it, because it's not tangible. But believe that it is, even though that you don't see it. And so many times we, as as children of God, as people of God, we have disbelief. And on many occasions I've said we put God in a box because we feel as though it's impossible. But we don't seem to understand that God is the miracle worker. He specializes in things impossible. Things that we can't imagine is the things that he does. And all he asks and he requires that you believe. He said, believe. Believe. Just to have the faith is the grain of a mustard seed. You've got to have that faith and you got to believe that he will. He will accomplish the things that you seem to think are impossible. And then when it happens, you sit back or you step back and scratch your head, and you'll wonder, well, how did this happen? It happened because of the faith that you had and because of the fact that you stepped out and you believed on the fact of the possibilities that it is, and that he will and that he can, and that there is nothing impossible for God. So Jesus himself explains to the disciples and the people, and he talked about back in the days when Moses lifted up the serpent on a stick in the wilderness, and this was alluding to the fact that even then they didn't believe, because in the Old Testament they wanted to leave Moses out because of certain things that took place in their eyesight. When they got there to the river and he spoke with God, and God said, what do you have in your hand? He says, rock, just scratch. They disbelieved. You brought us out here to die. Ocean in front of us and Pharaoh behind us. And mountains on both sides, and then here we are. But again, it was an impossibility for us because of the disbelief. So you must believe. You must believe. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're up against or what you're facing. And it could be darkness in the night. But the words is that weeping may endure for night, but it lets us know that joy will come in the morning. Yeah, he didn't say it was going to be easy. It's going to be some tough time, Christian. But you have to remember, it's only a test. It's a test in your faith and your belief. I know he seems to be an imaginary God. And we seem as though the thing that, you know, because we don't see him in our eyesight, we say, well, you know, you're just worshiping air. But even air blows. It blows, and it blows hard sometimes. During the course of the week, the house was blowing, and the women were losing their wigs and their hats, but it blew. It blew. In fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus is as smart as you are, an educated man. You don't know this? You don't know where the wind comes from? You know, I know it seems to be over sometimes, these impossibilities. How do these things happen? He's the creator. He spoke everything into existence. And then because of love, he sent his only begotten Son, that we will be rekindled with him there in the cloud, in the third heaven, as they say. Amen, somebody? Amen, hallelujah. I feel like preaching myself today, but I'm going to turn that loose. I'm going to leave it alone. She back in there. Mulling little worship and I'll see her. I'm gonna let her do her thing. I'm gonna play a song and then we'll come back and we'll have the the tithes and offerings will be collected during the course of the song, and they'll come back and say a few more words. And at that time, we'll have the pastor of Caesarea Christian Community Chapel come with her announcements and then take us into the Word and see what God has given her today. And I'm cutting myself short because she'll say, well, you didn't give me enough time. I had so much more to say to you. You cut my sermon, because I ain't going to cut a sermon short today. I'm going to let it go. Just like Jesus said, turn them loose and let them go. I'm going to turn her loose and let her go. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all bear with me here. I'm tripping lightly. Okay. Let's see here.
Sure.
I want to thank you, Lord.
You're living good, yeah.
Come on,
come on.
Church, amen. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah. Well, I was thinking about that song this morning, thinking about being grateful. Certainly, if you rose this morning, you have something to be grateful about. You could have been on your cooling bed and the undertaker could have received a call to come and to remove you from your dwelling. But nevertheless, he gave us one more day, and for that we are grateful. Grateful to the fact. The tithes and offerings has been collected at this time. Father, we thank you for the tithes and the offerings. We thank you for those who gave this morning. We thank you, O Lord, for those as well who wanted to give but could not give at this particular time. And we ask the Lord for a special blessing for them. That, oh, Heavenly Father, that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing, that they won't have room enough to receive, that they too may come and join in with the crowd, returning that portion unto you which is required. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Let us continue. Let us continue on the service this morning. And again, we thank everyone who has come out this morning to hear a word from the Lord. And before the pastor comes with our remarks, announcements, and the sermon, just want to say that we buried a close friend of mine's last brother this past Wednesday, Rochester Robinson, who's very close to us, young man that I met a couple of years ago, and General Motors, and got me involved in the union, which is somewhat like politics. And we did a great deal down at Local 239. And I thank him, even though I didn't know it at the time, who played an important part into where I am today, along with his family, who consider me as being a brother. And we buried the last one of the men. And I believe ST, I believe she had about 14 children. And there's only two left. There's two women. And that's Ann and Althea that are remaining. A large group of children, siblings. And we had a hard time in the Lord Wednesday at the service. And he went there, Phyllis and I went with them the last mile of the way. And that was from the service to the graveyard. You can't go any further than that. And that is considered the last mile of the way. Until we meet again. Until we meet again. Well, I'm going to turn this pulpit over to the pastor, Sister Rhea, and I'm going to allow her, she's going to allow me to step down while she steps up and take charge and do what the Lord has gave her to do on this first Sunday of this month. And as the woman of God steps forth, I'm going to ask that you would extend your right hand forward and repeat these words after me. Preach, Pastor, preach. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Give it on to God, to Bishop. I don't want to leave him out. So I'll be calling him Pastor in a minute. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. O merciful God, as we enter this week, turn our hearts again to Jerusalem and to the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stir up within us the gift of faith that we may not only praise him with our life, but maybe we follow him in the way of the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Last Sunday, we had two people to join church. And one of them is here and one of them is not. One of them, as the bishop said, we're going to visit. But she called in. Her name is Margot Blackwell. And I'm wondering if she's on the line. Now, Margot, are you on the line? Okay. I heard her say yes. I didn't hear you very well. Are you on the line? Amen, amen. One of our members, I'm giving a certificate for. It says certificate of membership. This certifies that Kathy Cole has fully confessed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and has been received with full membership of Caesarea Christian Community Church Incorporated on the 24th day of April in the year of our Lord 2022. And this is Catherine Cole.
Okay.
We do have to put a seal on. I have forgotten the seal, so we're just going to show it to her, and then we're going to get her put the seal on.
You give it to her. You can give it to her. I'll bring back and I'll put the seal. The church seal.
Okay. The other member that's not here, but she called in to confess her faith. And it says this certificate of membership, this certifies that Margot Blackwell has publicly confessed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and has been received into full membership of Caesarea Christian Community Church Incorporated on this 24th day of April in the year of our Lord 2022, Dr. Phyllis Burgess. And this is hers. I'll be taking it to her this afternoon and making sure she gets it, but I'm going to put a seal on it.
Amen, amen.
Okay.
The Sisters of the Christian Community, Chaff Church. No, I guess that's recorded downtown. The Christian Community, Chaff Church.
We're going to fix that. Amen. The bishop said we're going to have to fix that. Amen. Amen. But anyway, we are going to fix it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to situate my... I'm going to situate my information. I just wanted to say... Robin's not here today, is that right?
Robin's here.
Oh, okay. Cynthia. I get them confused. That's Robin. Cynthia's not here today. But I did talk to Cynthia. She's the head of the choir. And I ordered some choir robes. This is my old choir robe when I used to be in the choir. I tried to order the same one. They asked for purple and gold. I have purple. I ordered purple and the gold. So mine's just gold and purple. So I'll be using mine because I'm going to be singing with them. And they come in about 5 to 7 weeks, and I did order them yesterday. Amen. So if you'll look with me to the book of Mark, I'm going in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. One of the new people asked me to do a word from the book of Mark, and I'm going to do that today from the book of Mark. Put this down. I'm going in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. This is pretty much my Easter message, because Easter was last Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. What was it? Well, it was the week before last, but I didn't do it, so I plan to do it today. And my message is the gospel of hope, because we need hope today. After this pandemic, we need some hope. The gospel of hope, that's what I'm going to preach about. I said the 16th chapter. I'm going to read this. And it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he said unto them, 'Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they had laid him. And go your way. Tell his disciple and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, where they shall see him as he said unto you.' And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and they were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." I have read for your hearing Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. May the Lord have blessed the reading of his word. The great question of resurrection is not whether it really happened. It did. And the evidence is overwhelming, so that's not the question. Instead, the question of the resurrection is, now what? And so my message today is the gospel of hope. We need hope. We need hope. One of the great disparities between the first Easter and our Easter today is that today Easter has become that time when we as Christians at least appear to have everything together. And that's not a bad thing. This is part of our church culture in America. Easter Sunday is extra special so that we dress a little nicer. We used to. We get our family photos. We used to. We plan family dinners. And we want that morning worship to really go well because it was Easter. And there's nothing at all wrong with that. But we should realize that the first Easter was nothing like this at all. In fact, the first Easter was almost the exact opposite. And Mark's gospel, more than any other gospel, gives us this perspective. This is how Mark describes the first Easter morning. He says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go to the tomb where Jesus was buried, and they discover the tomb is empty. This is an angel telling Jesus is risen. And now that he's not here, then Mark ends it like this. And they went out and fled from the tomb for trembling and astonishment and seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's what I read. So Jesus is risen from the dead just like he said he would, and we should celebrate. And we did. But the first disciples at first were not celebratory, but confused. They were confused. They didn't know what to do. They were astonished. And this is what gets at the great question of the resurrection. The question of resurrection is not, like I said, whether it happened. It did. And the evidence is overwhelming. So that's not the question. Instead, the great question of resurrection is, now what? Now that Jesus has risen, now that the tomb is empty, what does that mean to us? What do we do with that? And how does this make things different? That's the great question of resurrection. And the rest of the New Testament is written to basically give us the answer. And if it had to be summed up in one word, it's hope. It's hope. The good news of Jesus, the Christian gospel, is a gospel of hope. Just in terms of how we think about the resurrection, I want us to get the order right. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not the end of Christianity. It's the beginning. It's not a great climax of the narrative, but in some ways, it's almost like the setting. It's the start. It's the new thing. It's the kind of like a new creation, and what it gives us is hope. That's what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and 3. It says, and you can always go to your scripture, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Paul defines hope by telling us that what is not, hope can't be seen. It is not tangible. If you hope in something you see, that's not hope. Hope then has to do with the future. It means to have a confident expectation in what is to come. That's what the original Greek word meant, and that's how we use it today. Hope is about the future. It's a resolve. It's a feeling. It's a conviction that we have about something we've not yet seen but believe we will see. I know what you're thinking here. You might be wondering, well, how is it any different from faith? I know you're wondering that. Well, hope and faith sound the same, but they're different. The difference, but the importance is, hope is the expectation of those things that faith has believed to be true. This is why the scripture says in Hebrew 11 and 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. For faith to materialize, it must contain the footprint of hope. So faith considers something true of God now. And whenever the truth crosses the line into waiting and looking for the future, it becomes hope. It's been said that faith is the foundation of hope. Hope grows on faith. But when hope invigorates and gives strength to faith, the New Testament idea of hope is different from the way we use the word hope today. Like we say, I hope it doesn't rain. We're referring to the uncertainty of future events. You might be surprised to know that it's not the same thing as the Bible meaning of hope. But when the Bible speaks of hope, it's talking about that very opposite of uncertainty. It is communicating with assurance, with confidence that these future events spoken are surely going to take place. There is no hoping because it's a surety. That surety is found in our text, and it says, what I love about this passage especially is where it cuts off when Mary and the other Mary is fleeing from the tomb without actually seeing the risen Christ, is the fact that it leaves the room for questions. Resurrection or resolution is to why the tomb is empty or what is the world happened overnight is not wrapped up neatly in a bow. Rather, there are some loose ends hanging around. This narrative reminds us that it is okay if sometimes we experience fear or anxiety in our own lives and faith. If we have questions or if we still have a few loose ends that need to be tied up, well, this is actually a more realistic understanding of how our faith works. It's anyway, especially now, even with the ongoing pandemic, thankfully, it's really starting to improve. We still have a whole lot of questions and not a lot of answers about what comes next. We do not necessarily have a plan. We do not know how we're going to roll away the stone when we arrive at the tomb, but we have faith that it will happen. Like these women who gathered up some spices and just started walking, we have faith that we are going to figure it out when we arrive. But in this resurrection, what this resurrection, it is the promise that God will help us figure out the details. It is the reassurance that we do not have to have all the answers. It is the hope that sometimes against all odds, we will emerge from the darkness and shine God's light into the world. It's the empty tomb of Jesus that gives us hope. Hope in the here and now. Hope in the here and after. And don't get the idea that hope I'm talking about is a hope so kind of hope. I'm talking about so kind of hope. I'm talking about a no so kind of hope. The hope of forgiveness. The hope of peace. The hope of assurance. I'm talking about a hope. That's what we're talking about. The hope of a heaven. And that hope is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ's resurrection is the basis of our faith and our hope without it. The gospel would be meaningless. Forgiveness of sins would be hopeless. Present life would be joyless. Godly living would be fruitless. Future life would be worthless. But early on that Easter Sunday morning, Mary expected to find death, but instead she found new life. She found new life. We also expect to find death, but we know that it means to expect death, but find new life. We know that it feels like to follow on Good Friday, only to be confronted with Easter Sunday morning. We have stood there looking into an empty tomb, experiencing the impossible. We don't even go looking for resurrection. It finds us. Jesus' resurrection is about God loving us so much that he's willing to go to any length to find us in all the wrong places. Like Mari, we look going for God in the familiar, in the places where we expect to find God. In Jesus' resurrection, God finds us. When we are down and out, he finds us. When we are at the end of our rope, he finds us. When we can't see clearly through the tears, he finds us. When we are confused on every hand, he finds us. God rolls back the stones and bird and binds us and confines us. He stands waiting with a familiar voice that calls us to a new life and to go and tell. Jesus was tired of seeing humanity fooled by death. He entered the dark tunnel of death to prove that there was an exit. And as the world darkened, creation held its breath. Jesus emerged from death's tunnel, lifted a triumph first towards the sky, and freed us from the fear of death. Even though demons, darkness, and death have been defeated, they continue to fight against us. They continue to fight. And so everything God has created, we don't have to worry, though. Jesus is alive with a new kind of life that he wants to give us to all believers. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Easter is the gospel of hope. We do not worship a dead God, but a living Lord. We worship the God who has placed all our burdens on himself. We don't even have to find him because he never loses us. He promises that if we see him, we will find him as he comes to us. We will never lose from his sight. We're never lost from his sight. We may not see him, but he is always there. He is always there. We may not see him, but he always sees us. And I'm reminded of how Peter and John, when they heard the glorious news, they ran to the tomb. And what separates Peter and John from the most of us, I think, is we're willing to give themselves up completely to hope. Even the possibility of a resurrection propels them to run as they are to see if they could be true, which means that they will be vulnerable to profound disappointment if it turns out to be something else. Remember, Mary suggested someone had stolen the body of Jesus. She never looked at Jesus thinking he was a gardener and said, if you know where they took his body, please tell me. That's what she said. Most of us, I suspect, would react differently than these two disciples who ran to the tomb. Maybe we will take a leisurely stroll to the tomb one day. If we happen to be going there in that direction and take a peek behind the rock, if it wasn't too crowded, as long as we expect the worst, we can be pleasantly surprised if it turns out better. But genuine hope, the theological virgin that sits next to faith and charity, requires more from us than cautious optimism and a leisurely stroll. It is a frantic running towards something that we have heard about, perhaps all our lives, and definitely want to be true. The essence of Easter is not a passive hope, but an anxious and even a desperate hope, a longing to believe, like the bishop said, longing to believe. Just maybe our lives don't end when we die. Just maybe we can be reconciled to a perfect and living God. Just maybe we can find joy in our lives and enjoy eternity. And I say, God says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. This is how we come to God. The Holy Spirit will use an incident in your life to speak to you. And he uses the Holy Spirit to convict people of their needs. He draws us. He urges us to be received his son, Jesus Christ, as the fulfillment of life because he is a sacrifice for everyone's sins. He's the deliverer for everyone's bondage. He's the hope for for everyone's despair. He's the glory for everyone's doom. He's the strength for everyone's weakness. He's the wisdom for everyone's decisions. And he's the love for everyone's soul. Who went all the way down to the pits of hell to save sinners like you and I? Will you make a commitment today? If you don't, you'll regret it. But you need to make a commitment today to God. I don't care whether you've been there before or not. Make that commitment to God. God bless you.
Amen. 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 I take this opportunity to thank the pastor carrying us through the Gospel of St. Mark, 16th chapter, is where she came from. It's based that sermon around that topic was hope. There is hope. Don't care how dark the clouds get, but there is hope. The disciples had hope on the ship when a storm came about. He said, we go down and wake Jesus up. We got the hope, and we know that he could do something to make things right. And yet Jesus did get up and spoke to the storm and looked at them and said, oh, ye of little faith. So it lets us, and it indicates the fact that we not only do we have to have faith, not only do we have to believe, but we also have to have hope for a brand new day. Amen. Amen. Just keep hoping. As I always say, and I say it many times, just look to the hill from which cometh your help. Yeah, realizing that your help coming from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. There is hope in tomorrow. It may seem as though the ship is sinking. You sent out an SOS. But you sent out that SOS because you believe that there is hope before you go under. If somebody will come along, some ship will be passing by. Pick up that signal, save our ship, and come to your rescue, come to your distress. There's hope. Hope for tomorrow. Well, I'm going to leave that alone. We thank the pastor again with hope, letting us know that as we even start up on a brand new month, still there is hope. There's hope here in the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, even though that we have arrived at the number of 114 murders in less than 6 months. There's hope that the last 7 months may turn out to be somewhat different. But we're gonna bank on that. We're gonna put our faith and our trust and hope in God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, we have the certificates that have been given out, and we took them back just for a moment because we try to do things decent and in order here at Caesarea. And I meant to take care of that a couple of days ago when she was filling those certificates out, and actually it slipped my mind. So Don't get mad with the pastor. You just charge it to the bishop because I should have taken them myself. But normally what I'll do, I'll take them and put the seal on it and then the church stamp on it so that all she has to do is fill it out. But sometimes things happen for a reason, and it's good because we just can't get comfortable. We can't get comfortable in this life. We always under the microscope. Somebody's always watching us and examining us and how we are walking. And certainly we want to walk in the right frame, in the right mind of God. So we're gonna take care of that. But right now, what I want to do, and I'm taking a step before the pastor. It should be what the pastor wants to do, because he's the pastor and I'm the bishop. And that's to extend the right hand of fellowship. We haven't done that, and we had some members that joined previously, and we want to make sure everything is in sync. So all of those that have not received the right hand of fellowship, I'm going to ask that you will come down here to this altar at this time so you can receive that, not only from the leadership, but also from the members. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to ask that you would come and line up at this time so we can come down and extend the right hand of fellowship. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, y'all help us out, man. I believe of Robin D. Cynthia and Earl, y'all receive your right hand.
Okay.
Just want to be on one accord. So you can get it in there if you want to. You can step right on up there. We'll get it to you. So,
taken place, the doors of the church is open. And the doors of the church were open over 2,000 years ago when Jesus extended the invitation, come sit and feast at the table. God requires that everyone would come so that no one would wind up going to hell. His desire is that everyone would enter into the gates of heaven. So the invitation is extended at this time. You can come as a candidate for baptism. You can come by Christian experience, or you can come with a letter from another church, from the pastor or the congregation, saying that you are a member in good standing at that particular church. The doors are open at this particular time, so you can come. Come on down and step out on faith. Give your hands to the preacher and give your heart to God. I'm not God, but you can give me your hand and give your heart to God. Amen. And if everyone is satisfied with their personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we are finished with that portion of the service. It's almost getting away time now. Pastor, you have anything else you'd like to bring? Well, come on.
A couple other things came to mind. You know, we have in the building fund that's July the 9th from 4 to 7, and it's here at the church. I also ordered some more chair covers. I'm going this week. I'm trying to take a little bit of time. I'm going this week to order our tables because we are going to have tables for six. And I hadn't decided on the cloth, but I think I'm going to get the color blue. I'm thinking about getting the color blue and changing the colors in the flowers to a little blue instead of purple. And that's what I'm thinking about doing. If you have some other suggestions, you can leave them with me after the service. You know, we can consider it. You know, because I don't want to do everything on my own. I want to be including everybody else.
Yes.
Amen. First amen again.
Amen.
It's closing time. Certainly want to reach out to everyone that has tuned in to the broadcast this morning. Down here at 121 Oak Street in the historic Turner Station, Maryland. Tune in again with us next Sunday or when you can. And we will come and try to break the bread of life with you. For those who have come this morning, we're going to ask that you would extend the invitation to a loved one, to a friend who may want to come out and just spend a Sunday with you, as well as to spend a Sunday with Jesus to learn more about him. And I just cannot emphasize the word about lifting him up enough. And I truly believe that we need to give back to lifting up Jesus. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, for those who disbelieve. And I believe the world has gotten back into a disbelieving state of mind where they don't even seem to want to believe in Jesus Christ, and they push him on the back burner, and we need to start lifting him up again. Tell him to remember, he said that if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. That's the problem with the world today, is we try to lift up man and woman. And man and woman can't do anything without God. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. But I can't do anything on my own because I don't have that type of strength. I don't have that type of power. There's power in the name of Jesus. That's why he told his disciples to go and to tarry there in Jerusalem for a period of time when the Holy Ghost will come and breathe on you and bring you power. Well, we're failing today because the churches don't have much power. They got a little power, but they don't have much power. And God says, you will receive power from on high. But we don't lift up the name of Jesus. We don't just keep in mind and tell our dying will and tell these young people about who Jesus is and what he came for. That's the reason why you can open up your eyes today, young child, because of the fact that he bled and died on the old rugged cross, that you will have the right to eternal life. So many young people are leaving here and don't know the name of Jesus. They heard about him, but they don't know him. Why? Because they haven't experienced him. Lift up the name of Jesus. And now until next Sunday, join us again here at 121 Oak Street in Turner Station, Maryland. Don't forget, next Sunday is Communion Sunday. If you're not here and if you're home and if you're tuning in, go get yourself a little small glass of water and a piece of bread. And it will serve as the same as the wafer and the grape juice that we serve here in the premises. It's a symbolic thing, but nevertheless, he says, as often as you do this, you do show my death until I come. Amen. Amen. And don't forget, during the course of the week, go back and read Mark, the 16th chapter, and keep hope in mind. As Jesse Jackson says, keep hope alive. So just keep hope in mind that there's hope. There's hope in a brand new day. And don't forget to allow to do the walking as you skip over St. Luke and go to John and look at John, the third chapter, verses 12 down through, including verse number 21. Read those scriptures during the course of the week as you go about, I'm going to say first, your father's business, and then as you go about your business. But take a
a moment of your precious time and let your eyes and your fingers do the walking through those two books. That's Mark and also John. And now, until next time, again, as we always say, as we close on the Sunday morning, remember, love is God, and God is love.
Said I pray, and I pray, until I found the Lord. I kept on praying, until I found the Lord. I pray, and I pray, until I found the Lord. Said I just couldn't sleep at night, until I found the Lord. My soul just popped your hand. I wish to have a witness until I the Holy Ghost is living there for me. I remember a long time ago, back down in a little town called Charlotte, Texas. I used to hear mama saying, and you know what she said? Hey, I got the Holy Ghost. Kept on crying to Jesus until he sanctified me. I cried and I cried until I got the Holy Ghost. I just couldn't be at ease until he changed my life, my soul. Everybody got to go ahead. Let me hear you talk to him. I'm kidding. Well, I found the Lord.
and the service.